I'm reading today from Hebrews chapter 13. And it's been a real blessing to my heart to be here this week. I appreciate the invitation, the privilege to come. In fact, I appreciate any preacher let me preach 2 or 3 times. That's a blessing. Appreciate all the preaching this week. Brother Pace, always, the Lord always uses Brother Pace. I appreciate him. I've known Brother Pace longer than we want to even talk about. I knew Brother Pace before he ever got married, and now he's got grandkids, so you know I'm getting old. But I appreciate the good preaching. I'm glad the Lord's word's forever settled in heaven. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here. Hope I can be a blessing to you. Appreciate Michael, my grandson, coming with me. He's driving for me now. Don't pay much, but it's a good job for him. He's working my faith. So that's the way it is. Ain't it good to be saved? I'm glad the Lord spoke to me, aren't you? In fact, we as Bible believers still believe what the Bible says in John 6:44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. As it is written the prophets, they shall all be taught of God." So you have to learn something from God. Learn something that God only can teach you. They shall all be taught of God, and he that heareth and learns from the Father, he the one comes to me. So 2 things the devil couldn't do, and he wouldn't if he could. First thing, the devil can't let you know you're lost. Amen. The Lord never lets you know you're lost. He's the one that lets you know it. Amen. Then the devil can't let you know you're saved. If you ever find that out, God has to let you know it. Amen. So I'm glad he lets us know we're lost, then he lets us know we're saved. And if you find that out from God, then you really stretch forth your hand, as it were. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. I'll try to be as brief as possible. I know about everybody's like me and wore out. But I'll just talk to you a few minutes for the Lord's help. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for the privilege to be here. These services, thank you for the word of God that's been preached by these preachers. We pray that you would help us to retain a portion of it, Lord, seal it up in our hearts. Help us to be obedient to the word of God, we pray, and walk in the light of it. These difficult times, Lord, we live in, we pray for every child of God that you'd give us special strength and grace and courage to help us in these days. We know, Lord, you will come soon. Help us to keep looking unto thee, the author and finish of our faith. Be true and faithful to your comer call, we pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this verse, Jesus Christ the same. Of course, the Bible is a book about Christ. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ is the Lord. So I see in this verse here that Jesus Christ is the sovereign. The children quoted, and how true it is, all the Bible's true, of course, in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. Yet the Bible turns around and says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. At the same time, no man has seen God at any time. It's kind of like when Barnabas got over to Antioch, in Acts 11:26, he saw the grace of God. But you can't see the grace of God. But Barnabas saw the grace of God in them. And I think he's saying Matthew 5:8, blessed the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So when you get your heart purified, you can see God in Christ. Jesus Christ. He is God. He was God. And I get from that verse, he's the sovereign. A lot of people don't like to use that word, but that just means he's on the throne. As a sovereign, he is immutable. That is, he's unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, that I'm the Lord, I change not, Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Of course, if God had been a change in God and had not been immutable, the sons of Jacob would have been consumed because it's always changing. That's kind of like it is with us. I'm glad we have an immutable God. It never changes. Therefore, we're not consumed. He don't change in his person. He's always God. He's always been holy. He's holy now, and he'll always be holy. He's immutable in his person. He's immutable in his power. He has all power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. He said in John 14, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said over there in Colossians, said all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. So Christ is the body form of God. God's a spirit, John 4:24. You can't see a spirit. That's why I said no man has seen God at any time. Yet Christ comes down, God come down in Christ, and Christ can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. So he's immutable in his power. He don't always exercise all of his power, but he has all power. Ain't that amazing? To know that we have a God that's not limited in his power. One fellow said, does God know everything? I said, he knows everything that he wants to know. Everything. Sometimes he writes in the Bible like he don't know. Like he said, we'll go down to Sodom. Said, we'll go down to see if it's all together as bad as it seems. Well, of course, he knew how bad it was, but speaking in our language, he just said, we'll go down and see if it's this bad. And it was that bad. And it's going to get that bad again. But he's unchanged, immutable in his purpose. God had a purpose before it ever started. He purposed in Christ. Together in one, all things in Christ, both in heaven and earth. God had that purpose. Nothing can thwart God's purpose. Now you can disobey God, you can disobey the will of God, you can quench the Spirit, but you cannot alternate God's purpose. God had an eternal purpose in Christ. He purposed to send Christ down here before the world ever started. And every devil in hell now couldn't stop that. He's immutable in his promise. He promised to do something and he's doing it. I was over in North Carolina years ago, and we was preaching, of course, kind of like I've been around here about being bad times, and as it was in Noah's day, and I was driving to church with this fellow, and he said, why don't God do something? I said, he's doing something. He said, what's he doing? I said, he's letting them alone. That's what he's doing in Noah's day. They got so bad, he just let them alone. And when he get up on them and let them alone, Genesis chapter 3. Then the ever thought of the imagination of man's heart become evil continually. That's all he thought about was wickedness when God quit him. This Bible says in Matthew 24:37, as it was the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days to come the Son of Man. If he quit them then, he'll quit them again. One good fellow from Ohio called me long ago. He said, you know why Noah's a building ark? Said he's a preaching. Said he's trying to get them in. I said, he was? He said, yeah. Don't you think he was? I said, well, you said he was. I said, give me just one part of a verse that said he was. God told Noah who was going in the ark before Noah ever started building an ark. He said, prepare an ark to save into your house. In other words, they had so offended and grieved away the Spirit of God that God turned them loose. He said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. That is, he wasn't striving to get them in. He was just striving to hold them back to keep them from doing as bad as they might do. And when the Spirit of God turned them loose, they've done what people's doing today. When God turns you loose and turns the light out, you believe in sodomy? Same-sex marriage, lose your natural affection, lose all respect for God, have no desire for God or the Bible, you better hope God never does just let you alone. Because if God ever lets a sinner alone, he's sure to go to hell. Only thing that keep us out of hell is God won't let us alone. And in our churches across America, the Spirit of God's been grieved away till the Spirit of God's not convicting much now because we've grieved the Spirit of God away in our rebellion against God. Jesus Christ wasn't only sovereign, He's the Son. He's impeccable as the Son. That is, He had no sin, did no sin, knew no sin, could not sin. Lived among sinners. Well, Edith was sinners. Sat down at the table, he wasn't, but he didn't have any sin. He is separate from sinners. He's made to be sin. I don't understand that. I just know a little bit about what it says there. He's made to be sin, but he had no sin. He did. He is tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He can be tempted because he's a man, but he couldn't sin because he is God. He was the God-man. So he's not only the sovereign, he's the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. She brought forth her firstborn son. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Took a miracle. It took a miracle to get you saved. Took a miracle to get me saved. And as the Savior, Jesus Christ, he said that Jesus Christ is the Savior. As the Savior, you know what? He's indestructible as the Savior. He said in John 2 and verse 19, destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. Now, by looking at him, they didn't think he had all power, but he had power to get up again. He said, I got power to lay my life down and power to take it up again. This commandment I received of my Father. So he's indestructible. You can't destroy this Savior. You know, you'd be surprised at the billions of people in the world that worships idol gods, whittled out gods. That one Indian friend of mine told me there's 30 million gods and goddesses in India. You know, one fellow came to over here in Kentucky, a medical doctor, and brought his god with him. It was a duck. And they started building this house. A fellow worked on the house told me this. They started building a house, and if that duck ever walked in, everybody had to stop and everything. That duck decided to go back outside. That's about as bad as having a puppy dog for a god. Or a cat for a god. Some people have cats for a god. They spend more money on cats and dogs than they do their children. I'm not going to preach on that, but I think I could. There's a lot of idol gods. My wife and me one time, we was watching a little liberal news on Fox. We was in a motel, that's been a long time ago, and they was having flood out in California. And the water was up to the loins. I mean, it just kept rising. They was evacuating everybody. Said, everybody get out. You thought they'd come out with some food or cooking utensils or clothes or something. Here this man or woman come out with water almost up to his belt. He had the TV and she had the VCR. Amen. I said they couldn't leave their gods in there. They'd leave everything else, they're going to bring their gods out. You know, whatever you give the most time to, that is your God. So he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Of course, yesterday, I guess, you take 2,000 years ago, yesterday would have been, say, yesterday for us was Thursday. I don't know when yesterday is for God. He said the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, yesterday, He is my Lamb. He is my Lamb for the foundation of the world. Because the Bible does say in 1 Peter 2, and talk about this being redeemed, not a corruptible thing, with incorruptible, the blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, here's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but he is foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, back counted before anything is ever made. God, based on his foreknowledge, knew what kind of shape we'd be in, so he foreordained and melts out a plan of redemption for us and crosses the blood surety in that eternal covenant. And he is marked out foreordained to come down. One of them said, you bring predestination? I said, sure. Predestination has to do with destination. So Christ was predestinated to go to the cross. That was his destination. When you got saved, you was predestinated to go to heaven. Predestination is a security doctrine, the surest doctrine for the saved. Has nothing to do with sinners at all. We're predestinated. And so God has determined where we're going to be, when it's all said and done, we're going to be with Him. Nothing can undo that. And so, yesterday, He is my Lamb. lamb stood all the way back there. Every time they brought in a lamb at the Jewish altars and cut his throat and the blood run down, millions and millions of lambs, that's the saying, one day the Lamb of God will come. That's why John the Baptist said in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad in the fullness of time the Lamb of God come down here. Yesterday he is my lamb. Isaiah 50 then verse 7, almost 3,000 years ago, he wrote it in the past tense, said he was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet it hadn't really been yet, but in the counsel of God, it had already been. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is as a lamb dumb before the shears. Way over here before it ever happened.
Yeah.
As a sheep before the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. He's my lamb yesterday, all the way back.
Yeah.
That's why we believe in eternal security.
Right.
We believe our security goes all the way back into eternity.
Yeah.
And all the way forward into eternity. That's what eternal security is.
Yeah, amen.
Eternal security don't start when you get it. It just becomes real to you then. Is that right? Eternal life has no beginning and no ending. So Christ is eternal life. So what happens when you get saved? Eternal life gets into you. You get into eternal life. I'm letting you think about that a minute. See, that's why there's no such statement in the Bible as once saved, always saved. That's a Baptist term. I don't fuss on people for using it. I have people ask me all along. Said, well, you believe once saved, always saved. I said, you been once saved?
Right.
They said, well, no. I said, don't talk about being always saved. You get once saved.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be once saved first. And since he's the same yesterday and as my lamb, and today he's my lawyer.
Yeah.
See, come down here as a lamb, went up the cross, was slain for my sins personally and yours, and of course the sin of the whole world. That don't mean the whole world's going to be saved, but that means Christ died for the sin of the world.
Yeah.
He died for the first Adam's sin. He paid the price to satisfy God for the first Adam's sin. That don't mean all of Adam's race is going to be saved, but it means the price has been paid for Adam's race.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's right? So now we can preach the gospel to every creature.
Because
the price has been paid for everybody. Christ went up on the cross as the Lamb of God to take away sin, put away sin with the sacrifice of himself, satisfy God for the first Adam's sin. That's how Old Testament saints are going to wind up being made perfect. They haven't been made perfect till Christ died.
That's right.
Animals' blood never did make them perfect. Of course, the Holy Ghost, of course, was in them. And the Holy Ghost, but the ministry of the Holy Ghost was changed in Acts chapter 2. He comes as a baptizer. Jesus promised them in Acts chapter 1, John indeed baptized water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost before. This baptized in the one body in Acts chapter 2. He comes a baptizer. He comes to indwell. He didn't indwell. He dwelt in the Old Testament saints, but he didn't seal them. They were not regenerated. That's why David prayed, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. Well, you don't pray that now. Holy Spirit comes in and seals it to the day of redemption. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. He about come makes his abode in us. Makes his residence on the inside of us. Now, Christ, as our lamb, has died and went back to heaven as our lawyer, our advocate. That is a law term. The commandment is, 1 John 2 and verse 1, that you sin not. Now, we're accused of preaching perfection, and I plead guilty. I'm supposed to preach perfection. One fellow said, well, you can't live perfect, can you? I said, no, but I'm supposed to preach it. I'm told you and me and everybody's told not to sin. Then we're told if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It don't stop there. It says he is the propitiation. He's the satisfaction for our sins, not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. So you need a lawyer to get you off when you do sin. And he's my lawyer right now. We live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful body. We're depraved. Our body's just as depraved as it was. We've got a new creature inside, Christ in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. But now we've got a warfare going on, so you can't keep from making a slip every once in a while. The reason God don't kick us out is because we have a lawyer in heaven. The only reason we stay saved is because we've got an advocate. He put an advocate talks for you before you can get to court. You got a case in court, and that's why you don't kick saints out before they confess their sins. Because you have been in court. I've had a few cases in court. I'm ashamed of it. But you get a lawyer, and sometimes now you can get an appointed lawyer. And that's what I've got, is an appointed lawyer. So if I can't get there today, my lawyer goes in to the judge and says, Mitchell can't make it today. And so they put it off. That's why God don't kick you out. Your advocate's talking for you in heaven.
Amen.
Now, your sin down here has nothing to do with your relationship, but it cuts off your fellowship.
Right.
The New Testament language is relationship and fellowship.
Yeah.
We're told not to sin, then we're told if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And now if you let sin remain, you know, is it 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message we've heard of him declaring to you that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if you say you're in fellowship with him, have no sin in your life, you lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in life, see like we have fellowship one with another. And also fellowship restored with God. Because our advocate's there. God can never tune you back in. God requires perfection. He can't have fellowship with you unless your inward man's perfect. And, you know, and I know the inward man is not the outward man, and I'm not going to talk on that much, but we're so close connected, whatever the outward man does affects the inward man. And whatever the inward man does affects the outward man. Y'all believe that? We're told to walk in the Spirit, we're not fulfilled lust of the flesh, as Christians. So if you don't walk in the Spirit, you fulfill lust of flesh. That affects the inward man, and that's why you get that withered hand, as it were. You lose your strength. Lose your grace. Lose your power. You don't fall out of grace. You just cut fellowship off. You can cut the fellowship off with your children. That don't mean they're not your children. It means the fellowship is broken. First thing that happens in broken fellowship is the communication's cut off. When the longer you go out of communication, the harder it is to get it fixed. That's why we're supposed to repent of our sins, confess our sins daily. Somebody said, I don't know if I have any. Well, confess them in case you do have. I'm sure you're bothered a little bit like me, ain't you? So we live in a sinful body, depraved body. Our blood has poison in it. We live in a sinful society. You can't hardly live in a society like this and not need a lawyer, especially if you're dealing with a perfect judge. So he's our advocate and our propitiation. He's our satisfaction. He satisfied God for us. He didn't only die a prayer to keep us out of hell. He satisfied God in my place. I couldn't satisfy God. I couldn't do what the law requires to be done. I couldn't produce what God requires. Christ come down here and produce what the Godhead requires to be produced. Went back to heaven. Not only is our propitiation high priest, but as our advocate.
Amen.
So, yesterday he's my lamb, today he's my advocate, and forever he's going to be my Lord.
Amen.
He's my Lord now, and he's going to forever be my Lord.
Yeah.
That's why I said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's Lord. Ain't it sad to think about some of these so-called preachers that deny lordship? Now, of course, I'm from the old school, and all the way I know to talk is just, you know, in school-age grammar. I think they're lost.
Yeah.
I think everybody denies lordship and salvation's lost as a billy goat.
Amen.
Now, I remember when that stuff come out.
Yes,
how's he going to be your Savior and not be your Lord? See, that's exactly opposite. That's exactly opposite. He's everybody's Lord, but he's not everybody's Savior. Romans 14 and verse 9, to this end Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. When he got out of the grave, he was Lord of all. Philippians 2 and verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death, because wherefore God hath exalted him, give him the name above every name, the name of Jesus, Jehovah Savior, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, earth, and on earth, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then God turns around and says, and just as sure as he lives, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to hell calling him your Lord. A lot of people are going to go to hell and say, Lord, Lord, did not we do many mighty works in thy name? That's preachers.
Yeah.
We prophesied in thy name. That's preachers. We done many wonderful works. That's miracle working preachers.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what that's talking about. They thought this okay. They're going to go to hell calling him Lord. He's not their Savior because they never submitted to His Lordship so He could be their Savior.
Right.
See, Lord means owner. He's everybody's Lord. He owns everybody. Now, if you're saved, you yield to Him, and now you realize you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore, you glorify God in your body. That does away with your modest dress. If you're glorifying God in your body, you're not trying to display your body to the opposite sex.
Amen.
You're glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. None of us belong to ourselves.
Right.
He bought and paid for us. He owns the entire world.
Amen.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You've heard me say this before. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, this is my farm here. This is my farm. Had a big farm million. I said, oh, no, no, no. If you think it's yours, don't pay the county, and you'll see how quick they'll take it. What you're doing is just paying them to let you use it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He never did give any part of this earth to but one man. His name is Abraham.
Amen.
Now, he said, wherever you walk out here, I'm going to give this ground to you. That's why it's called Holy Land. Called holy ground. Said Moses, take your shoes off. The ground where you stand is holy ground.
Amen.
Did you know it all started over there? And it's all going to end over there.
Yeah.
That's where it all started.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abraham wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Abraham. God went over and called Abraham out there of the Chaldees. That's what you call Kuwait now. Called him out of there, and Abraham packed up and got out and took his nephew with him, and he wound up in trouble.
Yeah.
Is he your Lord now? I'll tell you when you get saved, when you submit to his Lordship.
Yeah.
Read it in Acts chapter 2. There's a Jewish nation. That's a Jewish message in Acts 2. No Gentiles there. There's proselytes there. Four times he addresses the nation of Israel. Because the mystery of the church is hid and given to Paul, so Peter didn't understand it at that time. He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly this same Jesus you crucified, God's raised from the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said, what must we do? You have to watch them Campbellites there. Because them Campbellites, they want to know what to do to be saved. That's not what it said. They said, what shall we do? He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the minister says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist message.
Right.
He's a New Testament Christian on New Testament ground, don't have a New Testament.
Yeah.
So, you can't take us back there.
Right.
You take us back there, you're going backwards. They're still looking for Jesus to set up a kingdom right then. Because Peter preached again in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 and told the same nation, said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord whom heaven must receive till time of restoration of all things. Restitution or restoration. They thought right then Israel was going to be restored right then. They didn't understand the mystery. God hid in Christ and gave to Paul later. That the Gentiles are going to be made fellow heirs with the Jews.
Amen.
Nod your head right there.
Yeah, right.
That's right. God purposed this. That's what Paul tried to get everybody to see. I give to you the other day in Ephesians 3:19. Make all men see the riches of this mystery. A mystery is something hid. Like the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, Paul says, behold, I'll show you a mystery.
Yeah.
But the resurrection was not a mystery.
Right.
But he said, I'll show you a mystery.
Yeah.
That was a mystery part of the first resurrection. That was hid. What part was that? That he and Christ shall rise first.
Yeah.
If you want to get that, you've got to get that in Paul's writing. We shall not all sleep. In other words, there's going to be some saints here that's not going to die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
When? In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. That's the mystery part of it.
Yeah.
Now, Martha didn't know that because Martha said to Jesus in John chapter 11, we know that he'll rise again at the last day. Which was right. They believed in the resurrection of the last day, but they didn't understand that blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Part. So it comes in parts. Like redemption's in three phases. Christ died up there. He paid the price for the whole plan of redemption. Redeemed our soul there. When he comes back with a shout, he redeems our body. When he comes back later, over young to end, he redeems the whole creation. It's in three phases. That's right, ain't it? Do you think that's right?
Yeah.
I believe that's right. So what God's going to do, he's got something going on. He ain't showed us yet, but he's got pretty big work going on.
Yeah.
Don't think now God's about to push the panic button and gone off over you because Obama's got in.
Yeah,
right. What we are now is victims of prophecy. Perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing can stop that. We can preach against it, and I preach against everything I'm talking about. And the more I preach against it, the worse it gets. You know why? Because perilous times shall come. Antichrist has got the form of one world total government. Western world's got the collapse. That's why the economy's in the shape it's in now. They're setting the stage for a one world ruler. Nothing can alter that. That's got to come to pass, just like the Lord said it would. Exactly like the first time. Christ come right on time the first time. He'll be here right on time the next time. But everything's got to be right. Now I'm going to make a statement here. Don't take out on me. I used to hear a lot better preachers than me 50 years ago. They said, Jesus might come the next 5 minutes. He might come the next split second. I didn't believe it then, and I don't believe it now. Everything's got to be right. Everything's got to be right for him to come. He won't come till a little while has passed. When time comes for him to come, and the world's going to get worse, the church is going into more apostasy, going to be more false prophets arise, going to be more new versions of the Bible arise, more reprobation.
Yeah.
Hey, the Holy Ghost is pressing me and I'm through. We live in a reprobate society. Now, I try to pray for everybody I can pray for. But there's some folks, they done gone too far. They done gone too far. When anybody will get up on worldwide television and radio and tell you that they feel like it's okay for sodomites to marry each other, that tells you God has totally turned the light out on them and there's no redemption for them. God's quit them. Look in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but become vain of their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professed themselves to be wise. They became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like the four-footed beast and creeping things. There's your unnatural affection stuff right there.
Yeah.
I believe the old-time Baptist is right. There are some common graces that don't save, but you can't get saved without them. You know, conscience is a common grace. Its ability to know good from evil. But when that dies and becomes seared, you can't get saved. God set up human government to keep sinners from doing as bad as they might do. When human government don't have no restraint on people. They don't fear the judges and the law officers. They've gone too far.
Amen.
Human government was set up to put the fear of God in sinners. They're ministers of God, though they might not even be saved. God can use wicked men to redound to His glory. I remember I'd been in the penitentiary, dead and in hell now. Hadn't been for the officers and judges back when I was coming up if I hadn't been afraid of them.
Right.
I was afraid of them. That put the fear of God in me. Then when I got over there at the church house and they preached the judgment of God, that just built that fear. I didn't know at that time God loved me much. But I found out pretty quick I was standing on His broken law. And I was under the death sentence. And I found out, you know, you don't have to beg a person to get a pardon when he finds out he's under the death penalty.
Amen.
And I found out Christ died for me. I always believe you die for everybody, generally speaking. A lot of people think they're saved on general truths.
Yeah.
I believe Christ. They taught us that in school. Christ died for everybody. You know, and I believed all that. But I didn't think of anything about Him dying for me, personally. When I found out He loved me and gave Himself for me, that was good news to me then. That wasn't any good news when I believed it, generally speaking. See, in the last 50 years, we've got a bunch of people that's got in the church on general truths. That's why no specific truths has no meaning to them. Listen, I believe the Bible. I believe in God. And they get up there and talk about, may God bless America. Well, how could God bless a perverted society like we are? God couldn't bless this and pour His blessings out on such a perverted outfit as America's become now. I'm going to quit preaching because you've had about all you can take. But I'm glad He's my Lord. He's going to reign as Lord forevermore. He's Lord of all. Now, if you could submit to Him, if you could submit to Him. Now, some people can't. You won't mark me on that. You know, there's some Jews got to shake their. He said, you can't believe. You know why they couldn't believe? They'd done rejected too much light. You know, I used to preach sodomites as the worst in the world. Word, I thought that's as bad as you could get. They got to reading over there one time, and Jesus, you know, half His ministry, His headquarters were Capernaum. You know what He told Capernaum? He said, be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than will for you. Be easy on that bunch of sodomites at the judgment than it will for you, because they'd had all this light you had. They repented long ago. Sodom didn't have any preachers, any Bibles, any camp meetings, any churches, nothing. Capernaum had the light of the world, the Savior of the world come down here, and they rejected it. He said, be easy on Sodom and Gomorrah, will for you.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible don't say this, but it seems to teach this. Be easier on them heathen countries over yonder, will for America, because we've had more light than anybody. We've had more light. America's had more light than any nation in the world's ever had. All the material blessings and everything we've had, you know, and just walked away from it, turned our back on it, said, God, we don't pay no attention to you. We think it ought to be this way. Nowadays, they're even making statements, you know, like we think if Jesus is here now, He'd change His mind about sodomy, since it's so popular.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
See, that tells you people's minds been given over. Now, you're not saved in your mind, but you can't get saved if it's messed up. That's God's channel. That's God's channel getting the inner man. That it may be swift to hear. When you're so dull of hearing, you can't hear what He says. That's bad. That's bad. Is He your Lord? I'm glad He's my Lord. My Lord and my Savior. You'll never get saved till you submit to His Lordship. See, and I promise I'm through. But everybody wants to be saved if they can get saved and do what they want to. You know, that's the reason you have these guys, and I'm not against visiting people. I visit them in the hospital. Somebody's about to die. One fellow down our way, they went and got this preacher to visit this old man. He's in intensive care. And, of course, he's out of it, and they had him drugged up and everything. And he said, if you're believing in Jesus, can you squeeze my hand in it? So he squeezed just a little. He went back and told everybody, old fellow got saved. But he didn't die. He got over it. And he didn't even remember the preacher being there.
Right.
Didn't even know the preacher was there. But, you know, I said the other day, I said, the way they're preaching funerals at Jamestown, I don't think you'd get the help from Jamestown now.
Amen.
Fellow overdoses on drugs and goes off, he's gone to be with the Lord. Somebody else shoots herself, kills herself, calls their wife off. He's gone to be of the Lord. One fellow died a while back. They got a big bluegrass show on the radio out there. And he died. Got it on the station and buried him. And that Friday, that Saturday, they was having that bluegrass show. And they said, we think he's over in heaven now in the bluegrass section. He's over there listening. I think he's listening. Tuned in. You know, in their mind, when you get that messed up, it's like moving over to West Virginia. They actually think that's what heaven is.
Yeah.
People think heaven's like moving away from Kentucky and going over to Indiana and going to find body.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed. You talk people see.
Right.
Yeah, they think they're dancing up in hell. God help us. What we need to do is submit to the authority of Christ.
Amen.
That way we might get acquainted with him.
Yeah.
May God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for your people. Have your privilege.